Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday.
New Year's Eve Tuesday.
It's your sports bros, Roth and Souk. I'm Roth.
This whole Wednesday holiday thing.
Big Souk Redimer.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's not.
Nah, it's not ideal.
It's not.
No. Strange.
No, but we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going
to
do?
Why can't we just move the dates of holidays to coincide with weekends? Why does Christmas have to be on the 25th? He wasn't born on the 25th.
Like you're saying it should just always be on the fourth Friday or something?
Bingo. Yeah.
Well, that's what, isn't that Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's the fourth Thursday. Yeah.
Thanksgiving does not have a definitive date.
Right.
We move it around.
It's the last Thursday of November, right?
Yeah. So why don't we scoot some things around and we just make sure that our holidays line up with weekends?
Again, I don't mind that.
Jesus wasn't born. First off, half the people don't even celebrate it for Christmas, but Jesus wasn't born on December 25th.
And if you put it around a weekend, all the more opportunity for those people to celebrate.
Thank you.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
Fourth of July.
Many people are pushing back on that.
Fourth of July weekend. Look, again.
July 7th, July 6th, July 3rd,
we're
care.
We're all celebrating. We know what we're celebrating. Move
America,
it.
Yeah!
Exactly, we're celebrating America.
Yeah, flags!
So, don't you think that we kind of already do this with Halloween a little bit? Even though the 31st, the kids trick-or-treat, but for adults?
But that's another one. Halloween should always be like the last Friday of October.
Halloween on a Tuesday is ridiculous.
It sucks. It's good. If kids don't care.
No.
But, of course, they have school the next day.
Yeah.
But I feel like... for adults, it's usually just the Friday of the week of Thanksgiving, you know, or I mean the week of
Halloween. The Friday before
usually. Yeah. Exactly.
You put me in charge. This is part, you know, your platform of loud mufflers and 33% less tea. Mm-hmm. Didn't you have another? Oh, we're not turning planes around. One of mine is all holidays weekend, 100%
Friday or Monday.
Friday or Monday.
Can I add to this?
Yeah, go for it.
And I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. It's along the same lines. Yeah. The Super Bowl needs to be on a Saturday.
100%.
Either give us
Monday
off,
national holiday,
or put it on a Saturday.
Well, here's the thing that's going to happen. When they inevitably add that 18th game into the schedule, we're at 17 now, and they add the 18th, everything will shift another week, and then the Super Bowl will always happen on President's Day weekend, and the President's Day is the Monday after, and that works for everyone.
Okay. I don't want to...
I'm okay with that.
I don't need to move the Super Bowl. I just need to give you Monday off, and who doesn't need that Monday
off?
Or
we could just move President's Day to always be the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Because as cool as President's Day is, look, which
it's celebrating multiple presidents. Yeah. It's not even on an important date.
Exactly. Who wants to celebrate presidents, and who wants to... Which one's more popular right now? Football their presidents. Hello.
Well, I also, and look, on the Super Bowl thing, I'm not advocating for an extra day off. I just say move it to a Saturday. Just give us the recovery day.
Yeah. Well, I'm advocating.
It just sucks to...
I'm advocating for a day off.
To party for the Super Bowl. It's a late game.
Yeah, everyone's all hungover.
You know, back east, it starts at 6 o'clock, right? Because it's like 3:15.
Like 6:30.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
It's tough on those kids out there. Those party animals. Well, nice to have you along. Hope you guys are having a nice little day.
Be safe out there.
That's right. We have to say that.
Yeah.
Contractually obligated.
Yes,
the FCC
we do.
Is listening.
Yes.
I say go go balls to the wall. I can't remember the last time I went balls to the wall for New Year's.
I've had a couple
of those. Have a few good
balls
New Year's
jiggling
stories from back in the day, but nothing I can tell here.
Yeah.
We used to have some fun. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a dumb... As a bartender, you always get soured on all the heavy drinking holidays.
Sure.
Because it just brings, it's amateur hour. Yeah. It brings out all the dum-dums.
When we were, so we did Christmas in Vancouver, and so we went to a Christmas Eve market that cut us off at 6 and gave us the boot. And we were doing the, hey, what's going to be open on Christmas Eve? You know what's open on Christmas Eve in Vancouver? Bars. And we...
Well, Christmas Eve's a huge drinking night, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an amazing time. And so we thought, you know, well, we'll scrounge up some places. No, it was quite easy. And there's a main, like, their Miracle Mile in downtown Vancouver. It's just bar after bar. And so we just... We had quite a little, I think we hit like 11. We had quite a little run going and it was a great time. It's wonderful out there. And that's, you know.
But I got to tell you that the bartenders hate you because you're not normally there. The normal nights and the slow nights are fun for bartenders.
Yeah.
The busy nights are good because you make a lot of money, but it's also you're dealing with a lot of bulls.
Well, we got to tell you, we'll talk
about people who can't handle their alcohol.
We'll talk about it in a club, but I need to talk about Christmas Eve bar babies. Because it was...
A lot of people out with their babies?
Oh, my gosh. And there was one kid that I do believe was left to the bar. Well, I do believe there was a pack of slutty moms that literally took like a two-year-old and turned it over to the bar.
Can I say something controversial?
Go.
I've choked a coop.
You thought it was great. No, dude, it was not.
I'm not saying great. I just don't... What is... I love how we just like, a little a five-year-old can't be in a bar, can't sit at a bar. Of course they can.
It was a stroller.
So what? Who cares?
He kept
Mom
dropping
and daddy
his,
need a drink.
He kept dropping his sippy cup on the ground.
So what?
Regular bar patrons were coming along. I hand to God, you can ask anyone in my family. We were at the second level and we kept watching. The bar patrons walking by were doing a better job of looking after that kid than the parents
that's
were.
That's on the parents. I'm just saying, why is it so taboo that a kid can't sit at a bar? Seriously, why?
I think there's a lot of reasons.
Why? Give me three. Give me two.
It's like when Walter brings his dog bowling in the Big Lebowski. He's like, it's not going to take your turn. It's not drinking your effing beer.
We're just watching this kid, and he's got like a blankie. He's got like a whoopee sort of thing. And the kid drops it on the ground and is clearly pissed. Mom and her pack of other moms can't be bothered. Some dude, by the way, about 8 deep, comes staggering by, picks up.
Your little guy dropped this.
Yeah, he's like on his knee and handing it to him. And we're like, wait, is that the. No, it wasn't the day. It was just some dude at the bar. We're like, my God.
Bars are great gathering places for community. Okay?
It really was.
And look, if you have an irresponsible parent, that's different. But I just think this whole idea, your kids can't be in here. Oh, shut up. They've seen liquor. I drink every night. And I blow smoke in their face. Okay? They know what they're doing.
I'm just saying, it was shocking to see the amount of neglect that was going on with this little kid. Their backs were turned to him the entire time.
We're going to be talking about the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
That's the Rose Bowl. It's going on tomorrow, I think.
Rest in peace.
True story.
Ryan, what?
The granddaddy. Whoa, Nelly, Keith Jackson.
Oh.
I thought
you were putting the Rose Bowl to death.
No.
Jeez.
Like, is this when
did
I think of the Rose Bowl?
The granddaddy of them all? That was his?
That was him.
Yeah. I mean, I know he always said it over and over. I didn't know that it wasn't called that before he started calling games.
I believe that was a Keith Jackson-ism.
That's great.
You're backtracking.
What?
Are you sure?
I'm not.
You're not sure. See, you're backtracking.
I'm not certain.
But for as long as we've known it, it's been because he preceded us.
He would call it the granddaddy of them all.
Look it up.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I think it's 14
zip.
Penn State. Yeah.
Boise State sucks. They shouldn't be in this tournament. Call right now. 503-25. What's our number? I don't even know what our number is.
It's the same as the text line, dude.
250-1080. Is that right?
No.
Is that
503-864-6326.
Oh.
503-2-GO-FAN.
Oh, that's right. We changed it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's line up the calls and you can bitch about Boise State being in the tournament. Mm-hmm. They don't belong.
Well, we wondered if this was going to go this way. And then a lot of football left to be played.
Hey, Buckley's winning money.
Yeah, he was all over Penn State.
Right, Buck?
We'll see. A lot of game left.
Spoken like a true gambler.
And by the way,
never count your chickens.
I was right.
Okay.
Keith Jackson, the first one to say.
I just wanted to call you out because... You were like, oh, yeah, come on, everybody knows that. And then you were like, well, I think. You backtracked a
little bit. I did backtrack.
So I had to call you on that.
Yes. It was nicknamed the granddaddy of them all by broadcaster Keith Jackson. So
look at the big brain
on
you. An
all-time coug, Keith Jackson.
And that was not a big brain. The only one I've ever heard say that was Keith Jackson. So right when you said, are you sure about that? I immediately was not sure.
Like, oh, no.
Immediately.
All right, guys. We will talk about the Rose Bowl. Coming up, we'll have a club, and then we'll send you off to your shenanigans for the evening. Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot
oh,
no, topics, oh, no. Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Just had a thought. If it's Ohio State and Penn State in the final of the tournament,
yeah,
that ought to make Oregon look pretty damn good. You know?
Or bad.
I think good.
Yeah, you got
those are the two final. You beat both of them. Yeah. And, you know, who knows what happens.
Especially
tomorrow,
if it's a close game.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, ironically, the one guy hurt in last night's meaningless Lions-Niners game was Brock Purdy.
Yes!
So no Lions got hurt.
No. Seriously.
But Purdy re-injured his elbow.
And it sounds like it's not serious. The Shanahan was saying after the game that it's the same elbow, but they said it's a nerve thing, and they said it just went numb, but it's... They're not expecting this to be a surgery or anything.
But he probably won't play next week.
No.
Now, team owner Jed York confirmed today that both Kyle Shanahan and GM John Lynch will return next season. Does that make you happy, Niner boy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think either one of them should be going anywhere. They both catch a lot of heat, but they both put that team deep into the postseason many, many times. The concern now is that their window is slamming shut.
Well, and the biggest thing now is what do you do?
But I tell you what, you gave me Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
I'll take
number
it.
Four.
Yes, I think
30 teams in the league would take that.
Of course.
The Chiefs probably wouldn't. Who else?
No, Chiefs wouldn't.
Detroit?
I think Detroit would take it too.
I think Buffalo would take it.
It's a top three combo. It is.
Two baseball signings. The Yankees have landed first baseman Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, one-year deal.
$12.5 million. Yeah, that's a pretty good little signing.
Yeah, and
I know
Goldschmidt.
Both he and Arenado kind of went to die in St. Louis, and then it feels like
he's old now.
Yeah, he's old.
But he can gets on base.
Oh, one-year deal? Yeah, one-year deal. Take that.
Now, the Rangers grossly overpay for outfielder Jock Peterson. They get him for 2 years, $37 million.
I said the same thing. I'm like, clutching pearls?
Way too much money. Nice. He's pretty – I mean, he's okay, but I think – Isn't the thing he can't hit lefties? Isn't that?
Yeah, he was a platoon guy.
Yeah. He can't hit a lefty.
No.
Look at Genty. What a stud. Oh, he fumbled.
Did Penn State recover?
Oh, no.
Oh, is that foot in bounds?
Boy, if they recovered this, let's go. This could be. Buck's only saying let's go because he's got Boise's or he's got Penn State.
I got Penn State in the game. I got Penn State futures. I got a lot of things going on.
Clemson gets a boost. Quarterback. Cade Klubnik is returning to the Tigers in 2025.
He says the story isn't done. Also, the NFL doesn't really want him, so.
Oh, that is a total fumble.
Did the guy... I think he might be.
That's really close.
Yeah, let's see. This really is close. A huge play.
Look, come on. This game's over.
I don't
know. Yeah, it's close.
We'll see.
Cade Klubnik, sure to be among the Heisman favorites next year. Miami started 10-1, but they lost their last two games and gave up 42 points in each of them. And for that, it cannot be Mario Cristobal's fault.
No.
He has fired defensive coordinator Lance Guidry.
Well, seriously, if they had any sort of defense at all, that would have been a top five team in the country. Their offense was really good, but they could not stop a nosebleed. Even at the beginning of the season when they were winning games.
Number two.
Well, make it 4 out of 5 for the Big Ten over the SEC in bowl game. Michigan.
By the way, they called that a fumble Penn State ball.
Michigan beating Alabama today, 19-13. Michigan had 16 points in the first 5 minutes of the game. Yeah.
Milrow with 3 turnovers, 2 fumbles, and a pick. Less than 50% completion percentage. Alabama looked like ass.
I like that. Milrow turned it over 3 times in the first 10 plays, and Michigan held on. Illinois over South Carolina in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, 21-17. And a couple of other bowl games today. We had LSU beating Baylor 44-31 in the Texas Bowl. And then Washington Lost to Louisville 35-34, but they scored two touchdowns late to tie it. But they actually elected to go for two instead of tie and send it to overtime. And they did not get the two-point conversion.
And boy, I'll tell you what, I love that. You're getting your ass kicked. You find a way to squeak back in this thing. Go for two to win the damn game. By the way, Penn State just fumbled it back to Boise State.
Right back. Bad little mess exchange.
What are you, Texas?
I just say I absolutely love, especially in a bowl game that doesn't mean a whole lot, I love having the guts to say we're winning or losing it on one play. Kudos to you, Jet Fish, in your mediocre-ass season.
What else was I going to tell you? Oh,
I don't know.
I know. It's the first of the four quarterfinals in the college football playoff. Penn State, Boise State Fiesta Bowl. They are in Glendale. It is 14-0. Penn State nearing the end of the first quarter.
Could have been a lot worse. 14-0. Genty fumbles. Penn State gets it at midfield. And you're like, boy, this is 21-0. Game over. But they fumbled it right back. And huge possession here for Boise State.
Drew Aller, 4 of 5. 75 yards and two titties.
Yeah. And a fumble now.
Genty, 6 carries, 21 yards.
So there's that.
There you go.
I just want this to be a game. I don't want Boise State to get blown out. One, it would be a boring game to watch. And two, I don't want to listen to the stupid narrative again of how Boise State and these teams don't belong in the playoffs.
Well, you know, you don't have to listen to it.
Well, we
kinda... I got to tell you, I oftentimes turn it off.
You shut it down.
I do. I don't care what these
guys come out.
I don't care what Paul Feinbaum says. I never do. Never
Mom,
have.
Mom, Paul. Every now and then I tune into that guy's show as I'm driving and flipping through. And I still can't believe that that is like one of the biggest radio shows of all time. Like, really? That?
Regular callers like Legend who calls in.
True story.
It's not a high bar we have here.
It really is not. You can kind of trip and fall over yourself.
All right, let's talk about the Rose Bowl coming up next on The Fan. All right, welcome back to our show. Let's get into the Rose Bowl. You know, I was thinking about this while I was peeing just a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to squirt. I did. And everything went well. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Asking. But I was thinking about this because I'm like, I just feel like after all that has happened with Oregon, that you mean a magical season. I mean, they were the only team that went undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
The Ohio State win, one of the best wins in Autzen history, and everything that's gone down with Dan Lanning kind of getting headlines and getting some love around the country. I feel like this is just now are we at the Dan Lanning prove it game. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, because this is what I was thinking about while I was holding my pecker.
Mm-hmm.
SMU.
There's a drop.
Like, think about SMU.
I can't focus on anything at this point.
Because you and I, we're in the Oregon sphere, right? Like, we have followed every Oregon game, and we're, you know, we talked to Dan Lanning, and we followed it closely. So we watched Oregon. We know how good Oregon is.
Yes.
But I think to a lot of the country, they have only seen Oregon once, maybe twice, and it's the Ohio State game, and it's the Penn State game, mm-hmm. right? It's much like how I view, like, SMU. I didn't watch SMU football.
Sure.
I saw SMU against Clemson, mm-hmm. and then I saw SMU against Penn State.
Sure.
And so my opinion of SMU would be from that.
Yeah. It's a limited scope.
So I think there's a lot of the country that is looking at Oregon and going, well, one, they have a history of not winning the big game.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost two championship games. And then, you know, there have been plenty of regular season games where they've gotten drubbed by SEC teams. Okay, like the Georgia game a couple years ago with Dan Lanning, Chip Kelly, LSU, you know, you remember all. So they do have that a little bit of a reputation, whether you think it's fair or not, that they don't win the big one when it comes to these types of games. Now, they did beat Ohio State.
Twice.
That's true. I forgot about that one. They went to Columbus and beat them.
Got them twice.
But I think that if you have only seen Oregon twice mm-hmm. and you have that thought in your mind that Oregon's not really the best team or the number one team,
sure.
if you only saw them play Oregon State and Penn State, you probably don't think they're that great. Because you look at the way those games played out, Penn State went up and down the field on them.
Yeah.
And then in the Ohio State game, that thing could have gone either way. At the end, right?
Yeah. It goes down to that. People are like, well, again, if you didn't get the PI or, you know, there's an extra second on the clock,
all of this,
kick the field goal.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is I just think this is only now. All this stuff about Dan Lanning, and we know how good Dan Lanning is. Dan Lanning's going to be great. As long as they keep him here, he is
going to
do
recruit,
great things.
The budget they have, they're going to be really good.
No question. I think they're going to have a chance every single year.
Yeah.
That said, he has not shed that lack of big game label yet.
Yeah,
even though he beat Ohio State,
yeah.
The Washington losses are always get brought up. And then if they lose this one, the one that matters against Ohio State,
the first round,
after all that's happened, I think only now will Oregon be validated in the eyes of many if they win this game.
Yeah.
Only now.
No, that's a very fair point to be made. And
that sucks because we know how good they are.
Yeah, and we're also holding them, unfortunately, to a standard of, I'm not going to say it's a bygone era because it's a year or two removed from it, but I do think that the era of the super teams, like if you look back at some of those teams that won national championships, the Georgia team with Lanning, right? And you look at how many guys went in the first round, on both sides of the ball, but especially the defense. Some of those Alabama receiver rooms when you had, you know, Michi and Judy and Jameson Williams and those guys. And it's like, you know, from look at all the running backs that came through Alabama during those years and that were on the same team and the LSU team that had, oh, I don't know, Jordan Jefferson. And who's the other? Oh, yeah,
Justin
Jamar
Jefferson.
Chase.
That's crazy to
think
about.
The two best receivers in football. And who was the core? Oh, yeah, Joe Burrow.
Has there ever been a better combo?
No.
Ever?
No.
There can't?
No.
I mean,
On
one team.
I'll even go triplets. Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Has there ever been a better
combo? It's stupid.
Who even rivals that?
You'd have to go back and look it up. I mean, Alabama had some with two great receivers, but not to that level, and they never had a quarterback like Joe Burrow.
I was going to say, I think you can eliminate, like, you start with just the great quarterbacks.
Yeah, and there's not many of those and won national championships.
So you think about all the great quarterbacks and who they had to throw to. I mean,
it's probably the best triplets of all time. And then, by the way, you had Edwards-Helaire, who was a pretty good running back and won Super Bowls in Kansas City.
At the time, I remember the whole Matt Leinart, Steve Smith, Dwayne Jarrett
No offense to Matt.
No, they didn't go on to do big things, but at that point in time, everyone's like, those are the two unstoppable receivers and quarterbacks. Yeah.
It's just...
No, in college, they were awesome. But I mean, like, validated by the pros.
And so, I just think that some of those teams that we look at and those Miami teams and that were loaded, I don't know in this era of NIL and the transfer portal, I just don't know if that's going to happen. And this Oregon team is good. The Oregon team is not great. There's not a great team. Can we all admit there's not a single great team in this playoff? And I don't know going forward if we're going to see on a regular basis these great stacked teams. And so not only is Oregon up against all that you we're talking about there, but when we watch them, I think people are like, well, it's not that good of a team, because I still think in some ways we're comparing it to teams of the past. But if Texas wins one, I'm going to look at this Texas team and be like, this Texas team isn't that good, but they can win a national title. Oregon could win a national title, and I'm still going to look at it and be like, it was a good team, but it wasn't great. Whoever wins this will be viewed as one of the weaker national champion teams, and I hope people don't hold whoever wins this to that standard. But I think in some ways that we will, and I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that may be true. I was thinking about Texas. Like, I feel like they can win it despite Sark.
Yeah.
Sark's good enough. I think they can win it. They've got a lot of NFL studs on that team.
Not like some of those others.
You don't think so?
No. No. When you look at Texas, when you look at these rosters about who is going to go where, like if you look up at our lads, they do them by color coordinated. And granted, this is just, it's one opinion, but they do a general consensus. So you can go through green is first, two rounds, red is three, four, and they kind of go through. And you look at any of these teams, and I'm telling you, man, it is not loaded with any of these teams is not loaded with just this bevy of high picks.
You you did bring up two of the best teams that we've seen in
in recent college football history.
Yeah,
one is that LSU team, and another is that Georgia. That Georgia team might have been the best team we've ever seen.
It's really good. I'm just saying,
team was sick.
Most of the years when you go through and you look at them, like for Texas, they've got the tackle Kelvin Banks Jr. and Isaiah Bond.
Yeah,
which are their two kind of big ones. And then on the defensive side of the ball, there's good ones. They've got the interior guy, I think Collins is the defensive lineman that's going to be a top sort of pick. And you've got the Barron, who's the good linebacker. But again, it's not one of these squads that looks like you're going to have four or five first rounders off any of these defenses. You're not going to have four or five first rounders off of any of these offenses.
Were we spoiled by the run of Alabama and Georgia?
I think so.
I think we were spoiled by that. Like, that kind of seems like an outlier.
Yes, I think we got used to this idea of having 8 to 9 first-round picks on some of these national title teams, and I just don't know in this day and age, and maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, he fumbled again.
Oh, my God. But Boise got it back. And maybe I'm wrong, and then in two or three years, we do see these teams that are stacked like this, but when I look at it, I just don't know.
Well,
it's different.
I think it's going to be hard to keep
kids around. I think it's going to be more spread out. I think it's going to be more of an even playing field, and I think it's going to be harder to put together these teams that just are dominant machines that we look at and be like, no, this is the odds on favorite. I think there's going to be a lot of these tournaments where we look at it and be like, hey man, it's anybody. It's any of these teams that can pull this off.
So that. Are you saying that pertaining to Oregon?
Like this Oregon team, if they win a national championship, like, I don't want to hear anyone trying to be like, well, it wasn't that good of a team. Because I think people are going to look at that Oregon team and be like, well, it wasn't those Bama teams. It wasn't the Clemson teams.
Well, didn't you just say they weren't?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not. But in this day and age, those teams won't exist is what I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying don't.
Don't hold them to that standard.
Okay, I got you.
This is going to be a different era of college football.
Yeah.
Where I just don't think you're going to get these runaway freight trains.
You win a national championship, especially in this format.
Exactly.
There's, like somebody said on the text line, if they win it in this format, they will have beaten Ohio State, probably Texas, and then
Notre Dame, Georgia,
or Penn State, or Notre Dame.
Exactly.
I mean, come on, man. That's as good as, and they'd be undefeated. They'd be 16-0.
Yes.
That's the best season ever.
Yes.
I don't know how anybody would try to tear that down. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Someone's saying, how can you say Oregon is not a stacked or a great team? That's what I'm saying. Oregon is a good team. But when you go through and you look at Oregon and you say, where are like these transcendent like players?
They're not the same juggernaut that these other teams have been.
Birch is good.
But why does this matter? Like, I get what you're saying. And I think it's right. It's just, who cares? Like, this is just college football now.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Like, they're still really good for against their peers. They would be the best.
Yes.
So what's, I mean, take nothing away from them.
Exactly. That's my point. Against their peers, they're just, I just don't think there's a ton of really great stacked teams. And I don't know if there will be going forward.
All right. Do you have a pick, you little bitch?
In the Rose Bowl?
Yeah. I want to see. You do?
I do.
Okay, cool. I want to get your pick. The patented Big Sook Rose Bowl pick.
Yes.
Is coming up next.
I haven't wavered on this.
Good. Good. We'll do that. And then I have one other question about this game. Look at little Boise.
Little Boise.
Sorry about your bets, Buckley.
14-7. No, well, 14-6. Extra point to come.
You're going down.
I'm doing very well here. I'm on the over. This helps the over.
Here is, we'll come back, talk more Rose Bowl, okay? Sook's going to make a pick.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like the best pick. There will never be a pick like it.
People are saying. They've never seen anything like it.
It's going to be the greatest pick.
No.
Next, here's Buck. All right, well, we have reached the point in the program where we get Sook's patented Rose Bowl pick.
52-star gold lock.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the hell.
Bad John Anthony. What do you think John Anthony's playing?
I got the sign-in total confirmed.
I want to go 2-0.
I'd love to go 4-0 in these quarterfinals.
I'm looking at the line here.
1.5, right?
Still 2.
Still 2.
What I'm seeing. That hasn't moved much at all.
Mm.
Ohio State's been the slight favorite.
I mean, look, it's the definition of a close game. And I said this all along. My opinion of this has not changed. I think this is as close as you could possibly get. I think these are arguably the two best teams in college football. I don't think there's a lot of weaknesses. I think these are both really good, solid teams. I don't think either one of these teams is truly elite. I don't think they overwhelm you doing any one particular thing. And I don't think there's a lot of gaps. Like when I look at, I think Oregon's O-line is a little better because Ohio State is down their two best offensive linemen. I think Ohio State's running backs are a little bit better than Oregon's, although Oregon has a couple of really good ones. Ohio State's receivers slightly better than Oregon's, but Oregon probably has a top three or four receiving core in the country. You see where I'm going with this? This is the definition of an even matchup, which is why when we saw the game at Autzen, Oregon was able to pull it out. And I think the difference in that game is I'm going to still go with the difference in this game. Two things. One, I do think that I trust the Oregon coaching a little more than I do Ohio State's. I think at Ohio, sometimes at Ohio State, there's too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to the defensive side of things. Now, supposedly they've tried to simplify that. I guess after the Oregon game, they got together and had like a whole thing and basically said, we got to stop listening to everybody and we're going to go with one voice with their defensive coordinator. And it has been better since.
Who is it? What's that guy's name?
Jim Knowles.
Jim Knowles.
You don't hear much about old Jimmy Knowles.
No. Well, and to be fair, since that game, they have been better, but they also haven't played a lot of really good offenses.
Well, you know, I heard you say that yesterday, and I saw, do you like Bill Connolly? Do you read any of his stuff?
Yeah, I've seen Bill Connolly.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's an analytics guy for ESPN. I was reading his stuff about this game today, and he said that, and it reminded me that you said this yesterday, that even though the stat is that Ohio State has not given up a passing touchdown since Dylan Gabriel.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the Big Ten, you saw some of those offenses.
Yeah, Nebraska, like, Purdue, Northwestern.
Well, Connolly mentioned that Ohio State has played three top 25 offenses since the Oregon game,
mm-hmm.
and they have given up 45 points.
Combined.
Total. Now,
I would make the argument to that. Again, I'm just going to push back on that, that I think we know at this point that Indiana's numbers are inflated. Like, Indiana had a really good offense. Indiana, when they played anyone, didn't show. And so I'll toss that out. Penn State, I'll give them that. They held Penn State to 13 points. And that looks really good because Penn State since then has kind of put their foot on the gas. And then
the third one is?
I'm assuming it's Tennessee.
They're a top 25 offense? I don't think so.
Well, who else would it be?
Well, I got to go look at
Nebraska, their Penn State, Purdue, Northwestern, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee.
That was way too fast.
Well, Nebraska? Penn State, which, yes. Purdue, no. Northwestern, no. Indiana, yes. And that means it's either Michigan or Tennessee.
Yeah, it had Tennessee had a top 25 offense?
Boy, and this is kind of
their run game was really good.
Their run game's really good. They can't throw the ball for whatever. So, remember, going into the game, Ohio State had the number one defense in the country going into the Oregon game, and Oregon kind of did what they wanted to.
Well, Oregon's offense is the best in the league, or the best in the country.
Yes.
I mean, it's really unstoppable.
Really stinking good. So I'm just saying, when I look at all these things, I just think it's a very even matchup. But I trust the Oregon coaching staff. I think there's more cohesion there. I think the fact that Ohio State has had to have a radical shift in the way they play defense, I think the fact that they've had to do the, we're finally listening to one guy, I think at times they get too cute on offense. Seeing the Michigan game, I think they outthought the room. And so I just think that at times Ohio State seems a bit lost, and I haven't thought that about Oregon all year. I think they know who they are. I think they have a strong identity. Now, if you want to criticize them for being overly aggressive, that's fine, because we know Lanning doesn't give a rip what you think. He's going to do some kooky stuff, but they know who they are. They stick to their game plan. I think they're very well coached. And ultimately, the difference in this game is, I think, that and then Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel absolutely ate Ohio State for lunch, and Dylan Gabriel really hasn't played a bad game all year. And in a game that is so close back and forth, I don't trust Will Howard in the biggest moments, and I trust Dylan Gabriel. And I think that's the difference in this game. And so, much like the first one, I think this is going to be a game that's played into the high 20s, 30s. And I think Oregon wins by 1 or 2 points. I think it's going to be very similar.
Give me a score.
I will go 31-29 Oregon wins.
Wow. That's just like the first game. What was the first game?
32-31.
Awesome. What if it ends exactly the same way with Will Howard sliding down and they can't get a timeout and a field goal off? Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be amazing.
Be shades of Russell Wilson not getting the spike off at the Rose Bowl against Oregon.
Right?
I still can't believe that he did that. He had plenty of opportunities.
Are you talking about Russell Wilson?
No, Will Howard.
Will Howard.
Oh.
The fact that he didn't realize that he just kept running and he like juked and kept going for extra yards. I mean, that is one of those all time. What are you doing? And the fact that Ohio State butchered that, Ohio State cost themselves at least like 13 seconds at the end of that game with their clock management. I mean, and that just goes back to, I just don't trust Ryan Day and I don't trust Will Howard.
That was going to be my next question is, which coach do you have the most faith in when it's close and late? Because Lanning has a little bit of this
absolutely
pucker factor with some fans because he's so ballsy.
Yes.
And he doesn't waver.
No. he's got some Dan Campbell. He's got some Campbell in
him.
He does. He's biting
so
kneecap.
I think a lot of people think that that's eventually going to come back and bite him.
Yeah.
And it could be in a game like this. Like, I don't worry about that as much. I'm with you. I think if you're talking coaching decisions and clock management and all that little stuff late in a game, give me Lanning all day over Ryan Day. I could see Ryan Day getting a lead and totally gacking it.
Yeah.
Because he's so because he'd be too conservative.
Yeah. I think they lost the Michigan game because they got it in their head that they didn't trust Will Howard, and I think they played the most conservative BS game plan of all time and just thought, well, there's no way that Michigan can score enough points to beat us. Well, how did that turn out for you? So,
well,
and maybe Ohio State has learned its lessons throughout this year, and this is where it all comes together. And in that case, I will say, if you told me that both teams played the very best they could play, I do think that Ohio State wins the game. But that's a ifs and buts or candy and nuts sort of situation.
This is going to be, look, man, this is going to be a banger.
Oh, I totally believe it.
And everybody knows it. Yeah. That's the cool thing about it. It's like, I don't know, you could pick it all day and think this is going to happen or that's going to happen. I have opinions on what may happen or which team can do this or that. It's never predictable.
No.
When you get into matchups like this, it's so close, it's so even that it's really about the matchups and line. It's the X's and O's and the schematics of it, but also just hat on hat, who wins their assignments, who plays more sound. It's just like,
well, and some lucky bounces.
Yeah,
right?
The bounce like, of a turnover.
Think about was it Harmon that ripped the fumble away on the first one? You know, that's a weird play, or the interception that Oregon made that didn't get called their way, or again the PI call. Or
there's so much variance in any one.
Even
game.
One of the kickers pulling one or doinking one or something like that.
That's why gambling's hard, is because it could be an official.
You could have the right side and get the wrong result.
Yeah, just because weird stuff happens. And it's just it's a beaut, babe. I just called you babe. I cannot wait for this.
Yeah.
And I hope Oregon fan feels the same way. Yeah. This
win or lose, this is
drink all day because you don't have to work.
Yeah, win or lose, this is what you want to.
Oh my God.
This is what you want to sign up for, right?
It's so great.
This is why, you know, this is why college football's great. It's why you come to a place like Oregon. It's why you go to a place like Ohio State to play in these sorts of games. And I don't give a damn about seeding or you know, would you rather play Boise or whatever. Give me Ohio State. You're telling me you'd rather play Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl? Get out of here. Give me Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Let's see what happens.
Well, what a run if they get through Ohio State, Texas, and
Notre Dame or Georgia or whatever.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Like Colin was dropping some like.
Colin?
Well, I wonder because like there's the report out there that Quinn Ewers has a $6 million offer to.
Yeah.
To
a Big Ten team.
The Big Ten team.
Yeah. Probably Oregon.
Well.
But probably. Well, no, he was already at Ohio State.
Yeah, he was already at Ohio State.
So who would it be? It's Oregon.
I know it's not the Big Ten, but Colin today was hitting around and, you know, take it for what it's worth, but he said. He was kind of being all sly, and he said, "Don't be shocked as soon as the playoff is over if Notre Dame doesn't land Ewers. He just said a major college quarterback.
Yeah, Ewers has been linked to Notre Dame,
and that's why you kind of just you wonder. I know they said a Big Ten team, but you know, I'm trying to think of what other quarterback out there would be
That's a good guess.
A $6 million big time quarterback, and you have to wait till the playoff's over, and you're just like, I'm like, ooh, wouldn't that be something?
That'd be cool."
Yeah,
I could see it.
Yeah,
I like that Marcus Freeman guy.
Yeah,
good coach.
Quinn Ewers like signs up, like you know, winner. Although loses he comes back for $6 million at Notre Dame.
That's great, but he, you know, look, if you've watched Quinn Ewers,
he's not that good,
dude. He
not a $6 million.
Everybody was ragging on Carson Beck this year. Ewers was I don't know if he was as bad as Beck, but he was pretty shaky at times.
And it's the one thing. Well, that's not the only thing, but. Or the one thing I should say, but if you're Oregon, I think what I feel best about in this tournament is there's not another quarterback that I would take over Dylan Gabriel. It's the most important position in the entire sport.
Madsen?
Maddox
Madsen.
No, his first name's Maddox. Maddox Madsen.
Let me say it again.
Slinging it all over.
There is not a single quarterback that I would even think about taking ahead of Dylan Gabriel.
Hey, do you have the Dylan Gabriel audio that you were sending me earlier?
No, but I can by the time we get back.
Let's grab that. Have you heard what's going down with the Dylan Gabriel out there?
I don't know what you're referring to.
It caused a little bit of a media stir today.
Yeah. Huh. This is a nothing burger.
Completely.
It is a nothing burger.
All right.
But you know how social media is.
Oh, God. Yeah, we blow up.
So we'll play that for you next on The Fan. Yeah, that's right. Club 1080 coming up next. But you guys probably knew that.
Yeah, it's basically going to be us talking about something while we watch Boise State, Penn State.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to live watch football with you.
Pretty much.
But first,
Boise State, within seven, two minutes to play in the
half. They've settled in. It's 14-7. Yeah. Penn State with 2 minutes left to go in the half. And Penn State is driving, but they've got a third down here.
Yeah, big deal here if Boise can hold them to a field goal or to nothing.
You know who's sweating over there?
Ryan Buckley.
I'm not. I feel good.
Ryan Schmuckley.
Whoa, never heard that one.
You've never heard Schmuckley?
I think he was being a smartass. All right, so let's play this Dylan Gabriel audio. Now, this is nothing. This is stupid. But I wanted to play it because it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and we have to, around these sorts of games, we have to find something to, freak out about or make a deal.
Well, Ryan Day and Dan Lanning, there's a good photo of them next to the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it earlier, but they both look so sad and tired and, just they do not want to be in that room.
No.
And the bags under their eye, Lanning is giving Ryan Day a run for his money with the circles under his eyes. Okay. You can tell the guy's putting in work.
Burning the candle.
He's burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dylan Gabriel had a little bit of that today too.
Okay.
And he looks pretty tired and he's doing an interview with somebody. I don't even know who this is.
This is Coins Brenna Green. She covers the team locally.
Local. Okay. Yeah. So he was doing an interview, and here's what it sounded like.
We love the Rose Bowl. We love warm weather. I think we should play more football on nice grass instead of the artificial stuff. And the more sun, the better. Why do we do it to ourselves? Do fans want to sit in the snow and the rain? And let's just make arenas. Let's make domes. Let's do grass. Let's do more fireworks at games. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, all right. So, first of all, if you keep winning, you get domes the next two games. So
I love that.
Did you know that?
I do, or now I do.
Now you do.
But let's continue that evolution. I think that's important.
I think what I'm really hearing right now is that every football game should be played in Hawaii.
Wouldn't that be unreal? I don't think anyone would be mad at it, But maybe just the travel or the travelers. That's tough. But let's find more sun.
Let's find more sun. So it's funny. Look, he's just he's tired.
Yeah,
you can tell he's done with interviews.
Or people tried to say that he was roasting one or something.
Yeah, they were trying to
say. So Barstool
picked
it up and basically put it out there. Like, have you ever seen a quarterback more high out of their mind or something like that?
Well, he did kind of sound
high.
A
little bit.
And he might be. It's possible. From Oregon in Hawaii. It's kind of on brand. Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, you got a lot of pressure down there. Hey, you got some time. Roast a bone. You're fine.
Would it matter if some? I'm sorry. How many players on Penn State or Boise State? We're watching them play right now.
Yeah.
When was the last time they were high? Okay, probably 50 of them last night.
I'm guessing that it probably within 72 hours. I'm guessing that number is fairly significant.
Is that a thing? Because I remember the whole Deion Sanders is like, I don't want to catch you guys smoking dope in the hotel.
There's,
what is the do they say? Do they tell you can't smoke weed, or do they just say, hey guys, lay off the weed because we have a game in 2 days?
Yeah, that's tough because you're not. I mean, there is drug tests, but not at this point. I think you already know, in the NFL.
Is it even addressed? I wonder if it's even addressed. You just let guys do whatever,
It might be. It might be a smart, you might get the be smart. I don't know. Yeah. And now with,
the generic.
Because when I played, weed was still viewed as, it was viewed differently.
Well,
now
you played at BYU.
Well, I know.
Well, but 10 years ago, Darren Carrington got popped for weed, didn't play in the championship after playing in the Rose Bowl.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
I don't know
how weed is addressed anymore.
We should ask Lanning that. Do you think he'd answer that question?
Probably not. I don't think he wants to. especially because, you know, it's no Eugene. Way. Look, it's just like a lot of guys are smoking weed. So
that's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, he probably doesn't want to come out right and say, yeah, that's fine with us as long as you. I mean, I bet he doesn't want to go out and say
He doesn't want to. No. But I just mean with Gabriel, maybe he was high. Yeah. Like, is that a big deal?
So Brenna Green, who did the interview, then felt the need to come out and tweet, I'm saying this once and once only. Media day was at 8 a.m. And Dylan was not high. He's already silly, and I'm sure that with the combined exhaustion of how early it was and the amount he was in demand probably contributed to this. Kind of annoyed something innocent and funny has been co-opted, but that's the internet for
you. Well, she just made it worse by saying that. But look, people are going to say whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. He does sound kind of baked.
A little bit. Or he just sounds like he's doing a silly thing where he's talking about that football should always be played indoors or in Hawaii.
But
he's
probably fried. I mean, they're doing a lot of interviews, a lot of travel, holidays, big game, a lot of film. I mean,
we're not always at our best, right?
These guys are through a lot.
Yeah. I don't know what it's like to be in that sort of media scrum and for to be the Heisman Trophy finalist like that and have all that stuff lumped on your plate and give the although he is like 24 or 25.
Tell you what, he's got a sexy voice. I must say, kind of turned on. Can you play that again? He's got a pretty good voice.
We love the Rose Bowl. We love warm weather.
Sounds like Russell.
I think we should play more football on nice grass instead of our artificial stuff. And the more sun, the better. Why do we do it to ourselves? Like, do fans want to sit in the snow and the rain? And
we don't, Dylan. You're right.
Let's just make arenas. Let's make domes. Let's do grass. Let's do more fireworks at games. Let's do that.
Okay, all right. So. That's fantastic. Can we get the let's do that as a drop?
Yeah, I thought there might be a couple drops in here. I'll sift through.
Yeah, well, good for him. Whether he's high or not, good for Dylan Gabriel.
What if he's high during the game?
I'm sure that has happened a time or two.
I wonder how many times that's happened.
Probably more than you think. I think there's plenty of times where people have showed up to big games on stuff worse than marijuana.
Brandon Jacobs came out after he was retired and said he blew lines before games.
Yeah.
That's, David Wells, didn't he say?
He was drunk when he threw
it. He was drunk from an SNL cast party for the perfect game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, you tell
me. Look at you. Are you poo-pooing that? That's amazing. Well, he's housed?
He was hungover, right?
I thought he said he was drunk.
Was he drunk or was he hungover?
It's one of those, he was still half in the bag. Like, he was basically out till 4, 6 a.m., partying, and then, kind of went to the game and was not with it. Was he hungover? Was he still drunk?
Magic Johnson tells stories about Michael Jordan being up till 6 and 7, all night. Like, not going to bed, gambling and smoking cigars and drinking, and then the next day. Now, granted, they would play at night, but the Jordan that would then go drop 37 and cut your heart out. I mean, I just think the idea that somehow a beer. Remember, Luka had this in the playoffs? Luka got caught drinking a beer. Day before a game. And I'm like, look at that fat ass. You're telling me that Luka doesn't. Trust me, that guy runs on German lagers. It's just not a. Again, this goes what we were saying the other day about we put weird we expect players to care the way that fans care. We also expect players to have some sort of Greek temple body sort of thing, and it's not the case.
Well, a lot of them do.
Yes, but you know some of those guys Dwight Howard might have the best body the NBA has ever seen. Dude, the guy almost got diabetes from eating candy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, I saw guys that you would look at. That literally looked like the greatest physical specimens, and they put no effort into it.
Well, like Chad Ochocinco would go to McDonald's for breakfast every day. Yes. Giannis, after winning the title, went straight to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. The best defensive lineman I ever played against or with or saw was Warren Sapp. And I promise you, Warren Sapp worked out less than any human being you've ever seen play in the NFL. And all that guy did was go to the Hall of Fame. It didn't matter. You would try to get him to lift weights, and he'd be like, why do I need to do that? I'm the best in the game.
All right, coming up in the club, we discuss the 2024 Departed. Next on The Fan.